And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, the Green New Steel is the next dipper. And I gotta say, man, this, it's like every single day is a new adventure with the environmentalists. Every single day is a brand spanking new walk through the looking glass. It's like we are at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And it never ceases to amaze me how just incredibly, obnoxiously ridiculous these things are. And yet, they then make it into official policy. So, you heard us talk. All right, Green New Steel, all right? What I'm doing here is I got a series of stories that will show you how the environmentalist efforts are going to wind up dramatically impacting your life, your pocketbook, all right? Your wallet's going to be hit by this. So I got a story. I pulled this one from thehill.com. It's I'm both a conservative and an attorney, so I see things through those lenses, right? When I'm a veteran, I see military things through my veteran's eyes. When I'm, I'm a former politician, I can see politics through those eyes. I'm looking at this right now as the lawyer slash conservative pundit guy, and I'm saying, what is going on? So remember Letitia James? Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, the one who is suing Donald Trump and has got a $355 million judgment against him in that kangaroo court up in New York, claiming that he had in some way gone out there and cheated the people of the state. Who lost money? Oh, nobody did, but he shouldn't have said how much he thought his properties were worth. Well, the banks were the ones who approved it, and they all got paid back. So even if he had, which he says he didn't, anyway. Bottom line is, Letitia James is an activist. She's an absolute activist, currently holding office of New York Attorney General. She just filed suit against a company called JBS Foods, which is one of the largest beef producers in the world. Why, pray tell, would the AG file suit against a beef producer? Because she doesn't think they're moving fast enough towards their net zero emissions goals for the year 2040. Let me say that again. She has now filed suit against JBS, one of the largest producers of beef in the world, arguing that in some way they have misled the public about their climate goals to try and reach net zero by the year 2040. So first of all, I advise my clients all the time as an attorney, listen, if you're going to go to court, you got to have two things. You got to have a legitimate cause of action, and you got to have damages, all right? So a legitimate cause of action means you actually have standing and there is a grievance that can be tried as a matter of law, like a breach of contract, like a tort. You got to have something. If it's criminal, you got to have something that you've actually done. And of course, they can accuse you. They can indict you. You have to prove your way out of it. What I'm saying is there has to be something of a criminal element to be tried. How do we try something that hasn't happened yet? That's where we are. The climate activist, here's her statement. Letitia James' statement says, JBS USA has claimed that it will reach net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2040, despite documented plans to increase its productions and therefore increase its carbon footprint. When companies falsely advertise their commitment to sustainability, they are misleading consumers and endangering our planet. My office will always ensure that companies do not abuse the environment and the trust of hardworking consumers for profit. If this doesn't get thrown out on its ear like ASAP, then there's not a single business that needs to be in New York City after this. In New York, the state, New York. They just need to leave. The same woman who has just proven that she can get a judgment because you had a bank loan and the properties the bank agreed valued at a certain level gave you the ability to get the bank loan is now suing to say that you can't possibly mean what you said about something that's still 20 years away. We'll talk about it more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, The show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground is our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers like a whole lot of ground across North Alabama. They're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. It's pretty impressive. And they, by the way, owned by a Right Side Ruffian. Southern Immediate Care, every one of their locations open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I'm talking like pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see them all. Southern Immediate Care. So yeah, it's a big doings. And this is, by the way, who I use personally. It is just like every time I went in the front door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it was clean, it was professional, it was friendly. They got me in, they got me out. And the bottom line is this, I don't use them because they advertise. They advertise because I was using them. And I told them I could brag on y'all. And they said, well, let's do it. So here they are. And we're proud of it. So yeah, if you need medical attention, check them out. Southern Immediate Care, head on down there. And while you're filling out the forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. I'm in the Green New Steel. I hope you guys heard that story. That's the most obnoxiously awful story I think I've heard about an abuse of a prosecutorial discretion. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, the one who's been persecuting Donald Trump, not prosecuting, persecuting Donald Trump, is now suing the largest producer of beef in the world, one of the largest producers, JBS. The lawsuit she filed argues that she's suing them because they have misled the public about their climate goals. Huh. Well, oh, okay, so basically it wasn't because they had tainted beef. No. It wasn't because they had some kind of financial irregularities. No. It wasn't because they were violating, like, equal employment opportunity, you know, rules and laws and guidelines. No. 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 None of that. No. They weren't hiring illegal aliens working their plants, were they? Oh, no. If they were, she wouldn't try for that anyway. It's because they said that by the year by 2040, they'd reach net zero. And she thinks the fact that they're scaling up their production means there's no way they can do that. Therefore, they've been misleading she calls it greenwashing their exploits. They're greenwashing their exploits and taking advantage of their consumers. So it's not till 2040. You can't sue somebody for something that hasn't happened yet. You could sue for conspiracy, you know, right? You could sue for conspiring to do something that's illegal or prosecute for that. But in this case, I find it very speculative that she's going to bring a suit. It's part of the Green New Steel. She's an activist. She's got a position. She never should have been elected to it. And there she is. All right. How about this one? The Green New Steel. Gas in California is about to go up, potentially up to another 50 cents per gallon. 50 more cents per gallon. Every 2 gallons you put in is an extra buck. If you're like most of us and you've put in like, you know, you got to go on a road trip and you got to put in 12, 13, 14 gallons. I mean, you just paid $6, $7 more dollars just to be having the privilege of putting gas in your car. California, story here on Daily Caller, California, which currently has the highest average per gallon gasoline price of any continental state, is considering rewriting its low-carbon fuel standards. Oh, good. To better pursue the state's aggressive long-term climate targets. Says the proposed change could increase average prices at the pump in California by up to 47 cents in 2025, a jump that would reach 52 cents the following year. And it says, according to one consumer watchdog, it will hit the working class right between the eyes. Said it's unacceptable in order to get even in exchange for what their very noble climate goals are. If the government doesn't stop this or find a way to keep prices lower, it's going to stick to them. Yeah. Are you about to say something, man? Oh, 50 cents more per gallon. Whoop, whoop. That sounds like a fun one. Green New Steel. And then there's this. You'll be happy to know that as of yesterday afternoon, on Leap Day, the Biden administration finalized its energy efficiency regulations targeting residential clothes washers and dryers. This is a big deal. Y'all, listen to me. The Green New Steel's swooping in. Now we got to deal with whether or not your beef company is going to reach net zero by 2040, or they should just be sued into oblivion, or whether or not they're going to raise your gas prices exponentially to the point that you can't even afford to drive to work. While we're at it, why don't we make it harder for you to wash your clothes? So I've told you about this before. It was coming. They were allowing this rule to be taking public comment and going through the processes of, you know, what all they have to do. But they already knew where they were going. They set an extreme standard, and then they work with the activists and the manufacturers to try and have a negotiated standard. So basically what they did was they brought it down a little bit from the overly extreme way. Now it's just like sort of extreme. Oh, it's sort of extreme, all right. The clothes washers rule. Wow. The clothes washers rule is going to like save 0.7 quadrillion British thermal units over a 30-year span. I don't know what that means. It's a 3% difference on the current models over 30 years. These new regulations, which are going to be transferred to you having to spend more to buy a washer and dryer, are only going to save us a 3% on energy usage. But then there's the point you got to consider that they're probably going to be less efficient because they'll use less water, they'll run less heat, and what are you going to wind up doing? Oh, look, the stains didn't come out. Run them through again. Oh, look, my clothes are still damp. Run them through again. And what does that mean? You're going to wind up doubling the energy usage just to make it more, you know, more likely that your clothes get clean and dried. But they don't think this way through. Ben Lieberman, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, told Fox News, what we're learning here is the government ought to get out of the business of doing these regulations and not try to just float really extreme ones and then come up with something that's a little less extreme. Says the main concern with these negotiated rulemakings is that it mostly involves the manufacturers and the energy efficiency activists. One wonders how much the interests of consumers are even taken into account during this process. And there you have it. The Green New Steel is when it's coming out of your pocket. The Green New Steel is when they do stuff that either A, comes directly out of your pocket, or B, gets passed on to you because the manufacturer can't sustain the new regulations and they got to pass it on to somebody. And by the way, that's not corporate America taking advantage. That's life. If somebody tells the guy that makes your widget he's got to do it differently and it costs him twice as much to make the widget, he's not going to suck that loss down. He's going to pass it on to the people that buy the widgets. It's just, it's called the market. Market forces are at play here, and the government is constantly screwing with them. By the way, you may remember, too, by the way, the Biden Department of Energy, Secretary Granholm, she is an activist herself. If you go look at her resume, Secretary of Energy Granholm, she was hired to do this exact same thing. She's not doing a thing for our pipelines. She's not doing a thing for our fracking industry, except hurting it. She's not doing a thing to make sure that gas prices are better or that, you know, we've got energy independence. She's not doing any of that. Her main concern is how do we do green, 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 because she was a green activist before she got the position she's in now. And she has presided over energy efficiency regulations now for dishwashers, water heaters, furnaces, pool pump motors. My recollection was also ceiling fans, refrigerators, window unit air conditioners, I believe. And it goes on and on and on. It's like, let's find something that goes into a house and just screw with it. And that's where we are. The Green New Steel. Glenn from Bluntsville just says, we'll be washing our clothes on a rock in the river and drying them out on clotheslines again. You know what? They'll probably figure out you're poisoning something in the rivers and you won't be allowed to do it. So Glenn, here's the thing. We'll just wear dirty clothes. That's the only way we can do this. Gary from Decatur says, exactly what President Trump's been saying. They got away with persecuting me and they were coming after you next. And so it begins. Yeah, Letitia James is talking about going after the meat company for something that's supposed to happen in the year 2040. What's the math? 16 years from now, 2040. John C. in Madison says, people in California deserve the government they vote for. Well, I'm not going to argue with you there, bro. But they also, a lot of them didn't vote for it. There's huge enclaves of true red meat Republicans living in California. And there's some good ones. In fact, what's kind of funny, for the longest time, our podcast for Right Side Radio, the second biggest audience, was in California. So there's people out there that didn't vote for it, but they're also the ones that are leaving. So, you know, Alabama, Texas, Florida, we're all gaining people. A lot of them are coming from California. I had a friend. I asked her one day, why'd y'all move here from San Diego? I knew what the answers would be. She said two things, cost of living and freedom. I said, oh. She said, yep. We realized one day we could live twice as good on our retirement by coming here than we would by staying in San Diego. And then on top of that, just freedom. She said, we actually packed up the U-Haul and left the state. We thought about putting a sign on the back of it that just said, you know, goodbye to California. One more text and we'll take a break. Jason from Coleman is, he said, brand spanking new in the text lines. And he says, why don't they see these border crossers for what they are, invaders? And, well, he's suggesting that we start. No, we're not going down that road, Jason. Not going to happen, man. All right. And then what did Raven Russell say? He says, do not get between a redneck and his meat. I'm for it. All right, let's take a break, brother. We'll take that last break of the day. We'll come right back and we'll put a lid on it. It's Friday afternoon, you guys. I got a little bit more of the Green New Steel. Wait till you hear about the school buses. Ah, boy. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. We're in the Green New Steel right now, and I got some stuff's going to curl your hair here momentarily about electric buses. Before I do that, though, I'll see a guy who covers a lot of ground with his wheeled vehicles. It's Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thank goodness this thing ain't EV powered.
No. I mean, I don't think you'd be doing it. I'll be honest with you. I don't think you would. These electric buses I'm about to talk about, they literally are breaking down like crazy, and the company that made them is in bankruptcy, and it's just unreal. Our tax dollars went for all of this.
Imagine that. They don't work, huh? Who'd have thought that?
Go figure.
You know, Phil, these people is doing all this stuff. They're basically mentally deranged. Is there anything in the Constitution that says mentally deranged people can't vote, like in New York and California? I'm halfway serious because, you know, felons have their voting rights taken away. So why should somebody who's insane have the right to vote?
Well, at the very least, we recognize who they are and they're not allowed to come vote in Alabama. We know that.
Yeah. Basically, here's the analogy of what we got. America is the short bus. And we're all riding it. Follow me on this now. The Republicans are the chaperones, and had Donald Trump was up there driving the bus. And then, you know, there's not as many of us as, or I guess not as many of us as you might think, as what there are the riders on the short bus. The Democrats are basically the riders. And through this thing called democracy, they all got together and say, we want Joe to drive the bus. And Joe's sitting up there in the front seat with his helmet on, licking the windows, going, yeah, I got hairy legs. And they made him driver.
With his helmet on, licking the windows with his hairy legs. I do not.
I don't think Corn Pops won the chaperone. Because he's a bad dude, man.
Oh, my gosh.
If we don't get true.
You're not allowed to come on my show for another week.
Hey, you got to have some comic relief sometime, man. Oh. Everything's going gloom and doom.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll be honest with you, though, Jeff. That short bus that you're talking about that the Democrats were riding on, it can't be an electric bus because half of them aren't on the road anymore.
Well, it might be an electric bus because if Joe keeps driving the thing, it's going to die on the side of the road and go over the cliff. I think we need to get that little, we might have to go get some Voltagra to plug into it and keep it going down the road so Trump can drive.
All right. Where are you at, man? Where are you at right now?
I just passed the Huntsville exit, heading north, man. I've been sitting in Falkville for 2 hours waiting on trailer.
All right. Well, blessings on it, man. You have a safe drive. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, yeah. Did Big Rick tell you?
He said you sent me a message. I saw it on the text line.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
See you. Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Have a good one. See you.
Wow. That's Joe Biden is sitting in the front seat wearing his helmet, licking the windows and talking about his hairy legs. Oh my gosh, that was epic. All right, listen, I got to wrap this up with a story. I've got three separate stories. I got to recover here.
You got about 3 minutes.
Oh good. I need half of that just to catch my breath. Okay, so finishing this up, man, the Green New Steel. Have you heard about the company called Proterra? I've talked about them on the show before, but I'm going to take it a step further. I found, so first of all, here's a piece from the Herald, theherald.net. Everett, Washington. Everett Transit is seeking guidance from federal authorities after Proterra, a California-based bus maker, filed for bankruptcy. This is last August. The city-owned transit company owns 9 Proterra electric buses and nearly half of its battery-powered fleet. Everett Transit officials say they learned of the company's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing on Tuesday, saying it's unclear now what this does to their 9 electric buses. Well, I got news. You got problems, Everett, Washington. You thought this was going to be a great idea. They spent $666,000 to buy several more of their Proterra buses in the year 2020. Guess how they bought them? With a federal grant. So your taxpayer dollars went to local communities for the sole purpose of buying electric buses to prop up a company that still went into bankruptcy. Why? Because they're ate up like a soup sandwich. That's why. Story here. This is one of the best ones, though. I got this off of localkoaa.com, which is TV5 out in, I think, Colorado Springs. It says, a year and a half after the Mountain Metropolitan Transit put 4 new electric buses into service in Colorado Springs, 2 of them are not running. A year later, 2 are not running. Proterra, the company that made the buses in Chapter 11 bankruptcy, it is now being sold. Sold. Okay, so it's not just a reorganization. They just sold everything off. Says, though the electric buses were mostly funded through grant money, News 5 Investigates learned that part of getting one of the grants meant destroying diesel buses in the fleet. So get this. I'm not going to paraphrase for you. They got federal grant money. That's my dollars and your dollars, right? To buy buses, 2 of which died within a year, from a company that then went into bankruptcy. And oh, by the way, part of getting it meant they had to destroy 2 diesel electric buses that were still operable. Now, they quickly point out, now, these were older buses. They were getting near the end of their service life anyway. Okay, that's your storyline. Stick with it. So let me make sure we're clear. The U.S. government took mine and your tax money and told local communities, if you'll destroy diesel buses that still work, we'll give you tax dollars to buy electric buses that won't work but a year. The diesel buses, one of them was 17 years old and it was still running fine, but they went ahead and destroyed it anyway. Oh, the electric bus didn't last a year, and the company that made it went into bankruptcy. Here's the last thing about it. That company that went into bankruptcy, Proterra, in April of 2021, President Biden took a tour of Proterra to promote his infrastructure plan. His plan included $6.5 billion in grants to help replace diesel-powered schools. He lauded Proterra at the time, saying, thanks for getting us in the game. And he predicted that Proterra and other electric vehicle companies would end up owning the future. Well, I got news. It's a green new steal. We now own it. We are the ones, the taxpayers, who paid for those buses. And the company took our money, built some crappy buses that are no longer working, and then went bankrupt. And I'm looking over here, and John from Huntsville says, Jeff from Indiana just stole first place trophy from Phil in Charlotte Meadows. Dang, Jeff swoops in and gets the grade. All right, you guys, y'all have an amazing weekend. Big Rig and I back here Monday at 2. We will see you then.